Don't change that dial. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for...
Listen up. Jesus is on the air.
Can you that was wonderful, John.
Thank you, Dr. Anthony.
I was practicing. I was going to say, listen up. Jesus is on the air.
That's only when I get I have a cold or something like that. I was going to say that this is Dr. Palmer, and I'm calling from my hospital bed because I have the flu.
Oh, the guy is sick. He's looking for sympathy.
Please send cards, send money. I need whatever you can get. Wait a minute. Can I cough a little more? Doesn't work.
Thank you for showing up, Dr. Palmer, because I don't like to do the show all by myself.
I can't let you loose to do it by yourself. Are you kidding?
Well, anyway, thank you for coming in sick. Just stay away from me.
I've been sick my whole life. Anyway, we have two lovely women here today. Did you know that?
Yes, how could I not know that? they are lovely women.
Louise Kramer, who is the director of St. Joseph's House of Prayer in Patchogue, and Linda Dudley, who runs the School of Spirituality that is out there. And listeners, you may not know this, but this is a wonderful center started by Father Wheeler and working on prayers and training for people for inner healing. And it's just an excellent, excellent outlet for your prayer life. And Linda, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, if you want, but about the center as well. Louise, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All righty. Well, the prayer center is... started by Father Wheeler, as Dr. Palmer had said, about 40 years ago. And he worked with Sister Dimphna, and they started over in Kings Park, and then they moved to Millville, and now we're out in Patchogue. And continuing the mission, which is for inner healing. And the reason why that is because Father Wheeler had thought a long time ago that a lot of people are impeded by blocks that prevent them from having a closer relationship with Jesus. And so through inner healing and prayer and through the Ignatian philosophy, he developed the first school, which is called the School of Spiritual Growth and Inner Healing. And then he developed a second school, which is Spiritual Formation and Methodology. Alrighty, and Linda here is, she's the director of the School for Spiritual Growth and Inner Healing, and she's going to talk a little bit about what that is.
Father Wheeler is a Jesuit.
Father Wheeler is a Jesuit,
so
right?
You're loaded up with Ignatian spirituality. Oh. This is a show for Jesuits today, because in the second half of the show, we're going to have another Jesuit on, and that's Father Bob McGuire. And that'll be kind of fun.
Louise, tell us a little something about what's the mission, the vision of this prayer house? What is it exactly that it was established with some vision? What is that vision?
Well, the vision is to bring people closer to Jesus. And as I said, a lot of times we have inner hurts, things that have happened in our lives that we are we might be unaware of even, that block us from drawing closer to Jesus. And so the mission of the prayer school is to pray with people. We have prayer ministers, and people come to be prayed with. And it's done definitely through prayer that Jesus will bring to light what is blocking that person. It could be a number of things. It could be an abortion. It could be that they were seeing a psychic. There are many things that we might be totally unaware of that have prevented us. And it's usually out of fear, because we feel unworthy, that we can't have a relationship with Jesus. So through this prayer, a lot of this comes out, and Jesus then can heal this area in the person.
Now, if they have to come down to you, do you do phone prayers or pray over in any way?
We have prayed over the phone. It is preferable for the people. We always do two prayer ministers to one person. And that's how we pray.
That's smart, because you don't want to be one-on-one, especially if you're confronting something that's of a spiritual nature.
Exactly.
You need a prayer partner.
Right. Exactly.
Because you can't go there alone.
No.
A lot of times it might be something that is a sin in the person's life, as I had mentioned before, psychic, people going to psychic. In that case, we do refer them to confession. We make sure that if it was an abortion, that they are confessing this. So, and sometimes people need a little bit more than that. We discover that they do need counseling, so we refer them to a Christian counselor.
Isn't it amazing when they all of a sudden realize that Jesus is alive and wants to talk to them?
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's wonderful to see them finally, you know, those walls come tumbling down. And
absolutely. I don't have walls. It's a steamroller. And he just comes in.
Yes,
you know,
he does.
And I finally would say to him, would you leave me alone? I got work to do.
I may have missed it, but did you give the address where they can go? Do they have to call and make an appointment?
Well, they can call and make an appointment.
What's that number?
And the number is 631-730-6210. We have a website, which is www.stjosephsprayercenter.org. That is stjosephsprayercenter.org.
Good. Now, I know I'm annoying. Can you give that phone number one more time? I just got that there are people out there that are saying to themselves,
I need help.
Whoa, I need help. Give him that number again.
Okay, it's 631-730-6210.
Got that, people? Use it.
You know what the best thing about this conversation at the opening of the show is? Tony found out he's annoying.
But Jesus can heal that.
I've been told that for 100 years. And it's so true. Speaking of annoying.
I got you good.
I always have to be on guard with Palmer.
Never know what's going to happen.
Never know what's gonna, never know what he's going to throw at me.
Louise, do you have any more that you want to tell us about the center before we go into it?
Well, we have, we sponsor healing masses at the Shrine every other month.
And that's the Shrine of Our Lady of Louis
Our
on the
Lady
Island.
Of the Island Shrine. Oh. And we also have healing masses. We're trying to do once a month at the prayer center. We don't have a whole lot of room, but we're able to fit in about 40 people for a healing mass at the center.
People say, isn't every mass a healing mass? What's different about a healing mass the way you guys do it?
Every mass is a healing mass.
You like that?
Yes, it is.
Love
that's
that
true.
Question, Dr. Palmer. It's very true.
If I can help you with things like this, you let me know.
Isn't he wonderful?
Yeah.
I call him Mr. Wonderful.
Spot on. at the Shrine, we have prayer teams that will pray with the people after the Mass, and also the priest will give a special anointing. And we also do the same at the prayer center.
And it really began out of the charismatic movement.
It did. And that's where I had my conversion. So
okay, I'm going to ask you that question. Tell us about your conversion. This is what this show's all about.
And
by
how
the way.
Long do you
just
have?
Just give us a break. The show's about conversion, evangelizing for Jesus. And there are people out there that are on borderline. Mm-hmm. Tell us about yours.
Okay. I was someone who, I didn't have a full Catholic upbringing, alrighty. I went to church with my father on Sundays. Holy days, it wasn't discussed much in the house as far as, you know, Catholicism. So I ended up at a healing mass, to make a long story short, for reasons that I didn't know, and I really wasn't that happy to be there, and a little uncomfortable because everybody was praising Jesus, and I didn't understand that at all. But I did go up for a blessing for my cousin who was sick with leukemia, and I ended up being slain in the spirit and
which means being knocked off your feet. And
which
lying
I
down.
Was yes, totally. And when I when I got up, I went back to my seat, and my cousin turned to me, and I was crying, but it wasn't like a sad cry. It was like a release cry. I felt like I was being released. And he turned to me and he said, "I'm so happy for you." And I'm looking at him like, "Why?" You know. And from then on, it was a steady growth. I really found Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Oh. And then someone told me about St. Joseph's Prayer Center and that I might want to go for prayer ministry for inner healing, which I did. And then I went through the school. And so it's been quite a long time. I think, let's see, I always have to go back to my daughter was 7 at the time. So we are talking about
5 years.
about 25 years. 25 years ago this happened. So, you know, and I have my cousin actually to thank for actually being sick and inviting me to this healing.
So it all started with being slain in the spirit. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
That's right.
And I want to tell Trevor, when at a healing mass, they go down in the spirit, it's like your altar call. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Same, you know, we got to make this all inclusive.
Right, right.
Otherwise, he'll turn the microphones off. <and
Shut us down.
I saw John get slain in the spirit one time. I thought I had to get oxygen for the guy. I'm teasing.
Linda, maybe you can tell us a little bit about the School of Spirituality.
Yes, I'd love to do that.
And for our critics who listen, this is Linda Dudley, and that was Louise Kramer.
Right.
And they're from the House of Prayer in Patchogue. Now, will Nick please go to sleep?
All right, Nick, you happy now? We have critics. I don't know if you know that. We have weekly critics.
Oh, okay.
Yes. The School for Spiritual Growth and Inner Healing is really one of the central pieces of the prayer center. It is about your personal relationship with Jesus. And as Louise had mentioned, we all have those inner blocks or inner turmoils, things that prevent us from really getting close to Jesus. And the school is designed, as you said earlier, John, on the exercise, based on the exercises of St. Ignatius, to draw us into that personal relationship with Jesus. And the way that the school does that is that it's a program where we use scripture and prayer and meditation on the scriptures to cover each of the subjects that they cover. It takes 2 years to go through the whole program, which sounds like a lot of time. But the one thing that we hear from every single participant is that the 2 years goes very quickly.
I'm sure.
Very quickly.
That's our mission statement, by the way. Getting closer to Jesus. Jesus wants to start a relationship with us, no matter what.
No matter what.
If we're in business, he wants to be our CEO. No matter what, he wants a personal relationship with us. So that's our mission statement, trying to get people to establish a closer relationship. Can you give us one piece of advice, just one tip on those out there that are looking to get closer to Jesus? What do we have to do?
Oh, there's so many things I could say, but I think one of the major things is to turn off the noise.
Oh, that, absolutely. I get that in prayer all the time.
All the time. Turn off the television. Shut the phone off, the cell phone. Put it away. And use that quiet time to either pray or read scripture and pray with the scripture or just have a conversation with Jesus. If you're someone who really knows about Jesus but doesn't know how to approach him, just ask him to come into your life. Don't make it complicated. Don't say, "I don't know anything about Jesus. I don't know where to find him." Open the scriptures and maybe read one of the gospels, but just sit and pray and ask Jesus to come into your life. And that's really the way to open the door.
And get rid of all that noise.
Get rid of the noise. I think that's the major problem that we have in today's society. That's why we can't
hear
them.
That's wonderful.
It's too noisy.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
We did a little exercise last time, was it?
Yes.
And I said to Tony, start a conversation with me. Say, talk to me normal.
Oh, like a normal
talk. Yeah,
well,
I know what you're saying. Keep going.
Yeah, I know.
What's up, Martin?
I call you Palmer.
Yeah. All right, but, you know, if you're talking to God, how can you listen at the same time?
That's right.
So
it's
really important to learn that.
Yes. And actually, the school teaches you through the steps that you do. It teaches you to listen, because part of each step and each lesson is to pray, but also to listen for Jesus and what he's saying to you. And Father Wheeler helps us with that, because he has a reflection that he does on each step. And so he helps you, he directs you where to go and what it is that each step is focusing on. And he helps you to listen.
Do you journal?
Yes, that you do that, and that helps along the way to really pinpoint where your brokenness is and what it is that Jesus wants you to work on.
Yeah. And that's all part of a relationship with Jesus.
Yes.
And you have to be willing to spend time.
Right.
And to give up your agenda, as John the Baptist said.
Huh? Yes. And that's another.
You decrease so that Jesus can increase.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's, part of what we require and ask of people is that they make a commitment to this program. And so you do have to spend time on it. Usually 30 minutes a day on the scripture is enough to have you in that place where you're listening to Jesus. And we have found, and I think Louise would say the same thing, that once you get into the introduction in that first lesson, you're already drawn in. Jesus already has you.
Because he wants to be with us.
Right.
We just have to open the door and stretch our arm. He's got his arm stretched out.
Exactly. He's waiting for us.
That's wonderful. Do you do talks? Do you go around doing talks to groups or anything like that?
We have not done that so far.
Oh,
we
my Lord.
Count your blessings.
I'll tell you, I firmly believe that's really needed.
Yes.
Somehow or other, or you need to open, spread out, and have people know about you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus really wants to talk to us.
Yes, he does. And we're grateful that you have us today so that the people that are hearing
we're happy
us
to have you.
Can maybe call us at that phone number.
This is very inspirational, really is.
And one other thing that you have there that I love, because I happen to be nuts about adoration of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yes.
And you have permission to have that at that house. And I recall going there one time several years ago and just sitting in adoration for almost 2 hours. And it was so comfortable to know that you were in the presence of Jesus.
Right. Yes, it's a nice quiet place. And people have said that when they enter, they can feel the Holy Spirit.
Really?
As soon as they enter
the
house.
Oh, I'd love to go. Yeah. I'd love to go. Palmer, will you take me there someday? No, I know you're too cheap.
You're welcome anytime.
Anytime you want.
I'll be there.
Do you have any events coming up that you'd like to tell the listeners about?
Dr. Jim DeMar is going to be doing Boundaries this next weekend, Friday the 18th, Friday evening, and then all day Saturday.
Whoa. Okay.
Alrighty, and that's an excellent course.
You have to call to make a reservation?
Yes, you have to call to make a reservation.
Right.
You can get the phone number again. It's perfectly all right.
Yeah, give it.
631-730-6210.
6210.
You know, Jim was giving a Boundaries workshop at the Association of Christian Therapists, and I never told him this story, but I couldn't make it. And a friend of mine, Bonnie Lay is her name, and she went to the workshop, and afterwards I was curious, so I said, Bonnie, you went to the workshop on Boundaries? And she said, yeah. I said, how was it? She said, get the hell out of here.
She learned her boundaries.
Can I just get this one thing in about Monday night?
Sure.
Just so you know, Monday night, I have I'll be at St. Francis of Assisi Church in Greenlawn, And there's going to be a, it's for the Britannia 13. It's for the cause for Maria Espinanza's sainthood. And so Monday night, I'll be there. And by the way, we'll be giving out free disc of our shows. We'll be giving out our biographies, Palmer's biography and Palmer's disc, and we'll be having the show and Palmer's internet show and stuff like that. But also we're going to have a very special guest, Bud McFarlane, who's going to talk about Marian operations. And Bud is coming all the way from Pennsylvania, I believe, just to be with us that night. So it's
Sounds wonderful.
It's going to start with a rosary, a mass, and a talk by Bud. And I'll be emceeing somewhat because Delfino is in Florida. So if we'd love, we know a lot of our listeners already come. We'd love to have we'd love to have a church full. So if you would like to come, it's in St. Francis of Assisi, 29 Clay Street in Greenlawn. And the phone number there for directions is 631-757-7435. Okay, John.
Well,
I'm going to have one more after this. Oh, yeah, you're going to got that one? Okay.
We listeners, we don't do this too often. No, we don't make announcements, but this is very
special. They're
their
friends. They're their friends.
Well, this is Bridge for Peace. And every year they do a Rome prayer walk. This is their 16th year doing it, from February 24th to March 3rd. And their request is, pray for the success of the walk. And we know from talking with them over the years that priests are so happy to have someone come and pray with them. And of course, Bridge for Peace has a lovely, lovely healing ministry.
Oh.
And they have a phone number too, 631-730-3982. 631-730-3982. And they're in Wading River.
Yes, and that phone number can be used tonight. They're having a Roma dinner for raising money for the prayer walk. And that's going to be at Old World. They're going to have an Old World menu of fresh salad, eggplant parmesan, baked ziti, etc. And if you want information, you can call 631-730-3982. Ask for Ed or Annette.
Why do I feel like Penny Saver?
You know what, John? I love doing this. You know why? Because these people are dear friends of ours, and they are listeners, and I love doing things like that. You know, I really do like it, if you don't mind. You're the executive director, but I like doing that. Okay, it's all yours.
It's time for you to move into Saint of the Day.
Oh, okay. Now,
we'll be back later.
Keep the music low, okay, please? Saint of the Day is Saint Philomena. Now, I'm dedicating this talk to a person named Philomena, who's the mother of one of my partners in one of my ventures. And she's a dear woman, and you know what, John? A very faithful listener.
She so, should get a life.
So, Philomena, I want you to know, we love you. This is for you. Very little is known about the life of Saint Philomena, except through private revelations that she's made in the year 1802, I think it was. What we know for sure is that she lived, we don't know the exact date, but she lived in the early days of Christianity. And we know, we believe that her mother and father were pagans and converted to Christianity. And they were married for many years and never had a child. And just like Elizabeth, and just like many other saints that were childless and prayed for a child, God answered that prayer and gave her a daughter. And so they raised that daughter, and lovingly. And that daughter was filled with the Holy Spirit from the day probably she was born. And at the age of, I think, 12, she gave her life, consecrated it to Jesus. And nothing, but I mean nothing, would sway her. In 1805, I think it was, she appeared, in 1805, she appeared to a nun, Canon Francis de Lusa, and she said to her, "Sister, dear sister, August the 10th was the day that began my rest, my triumph, and my birth into heaven." Because nothing was known. They had no idea. And she apparently wanted something to be known about her. So there was some confusion on when she died, but she appeared to the nun and says, August the 10th. And that's when she was welcomed into heaven. That is why my heavenly spouse, disposed by his most high degrees, that my coming to your area should be on the day which has seen my event into heaven. And that's why she appeared to the nun. She gave a little bit about her life, and she told him that she was an only child, that her father was well-to-do, and that the father was appearing before the emperor and with her and the wife. And when they appeared before the emperor, Philomena noticed that the emperor could not take his eyes off her. She was 13 years old and kept staring at her and staring at her. And so the father made some requests to the emperor. The emperor listened but kept staring. And then finally he said, "I will grant your request, but I want your daughter's hand in marriage." And the father was all for it. "Wow, my daughter's going to marry the emperor?" And so was the mother. But Philomena said, "No, my life is consecrated to Jesus. And Jesus is my lover. Jesus is the one I am going to be with." And so the father was distorted, the mother was distorted, the emperor was like, "Wow, what are we going to do about this?" And he kept bartering and bartering, but he tried all different things to convince her for her hand to marry. She was only, I don't know, in those days, I guess 13 wasn't that young, but she was only 13 years old. Just like the Blessed Mother. Mm-hmm. She was at 12, 13, 14 years old. So he tried everything and couldn't convince her. Then he said, finally said to the father, "Either she gives me, you give me her hand in matrimony, or I'm going to put her in prison." And he says, "What do you want me to do? She won't do it." Prison she goes, put her in prison. And he tortured her. Then finally he says, "This is it. I'm getting rid of you." He gave orders to tie a weight around her neck and throw her in the ocean. And he did. And while she was in the ocean, an angel came, took the weight off her, and brought her up. And so the emperor was like beside himself and put her back in prison. And he went to her and he said, "I want your hand in marriage. I'm the emperor. You will be the queen. The queen. Everything will be for you." "No," she says, "my life belongs to Jesus." Now she's telling this. No one knew this. She's telling this to the nun because she wanted her story told. And so the emperor finally said, "I have had it. Either you marry me or I will see to it that you die." And of course, she refused. So he tried again to convince her to and promise her everything. He tried to crush her and hold her, and she rejected him. He commanded a guard to chain an anchor, as I says, around the neck and threw her in the ocean. And I forgot to tell you that she said when she fell into the river and into the mud, where she remained, and she had no doubt in her mind that Jesus was going to rescue her. She knew that Jesus would be rescuing her. That's how good her faith was. And then she finally, my soul took flight towards heaven when he had her. He was so infatuated that he determined to hasten her death by ordering her head to be cut off. And so it was. And so her soul hastened to heaven in the arms of Jesus. And so she fought all adversity. She fought and gave up worldly things, just like Jesus, in order to keep her promise and her consecration to our Lord and Savior, Jesus. So now she rose to sainthood by an act of unprecedented in the history of the church. They just made her a saint. As a saint, solely on the basis of her powerful intercession, since nothing historical was ever known except her evidence to martyrdom. She became another patron saint of the hopeless, alongside of Saint Jude. She became a patron saint of the rosary because she also had a devout dedication to Mary. You know, you can almost figure that Mary eventually brought her to Jesus, as she always does with all of us. And so she's also the patron saint of expectant mothers, destitute mothers, families, priests, and their work, and the sick and the missionary. So she has a lot of hats now, but she was actually found in the catacombs in the year 1802, when they found her grave, and they found a vial, a jar of her dried blood. And on the stone, the reason why they knew who it was, it says in Latin, "Here lies Saint Philomena, the light of the world." Wow. And so that's my little story about Saint Philomena. She's very powerful. People are praying to her constantly. She answers the smallest, from research, request or the biggest request. And she's a saint to be prayed to. And Philomena out there, this is for you. I love you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's beautiful.
Well, you know, what a wonderful story.
Thank you. First time you ever said that to me, Palmer.
I'm lying.
That's why we love one another. You know what? We lie to one another. Now we don't. We're very religious. We don't lie.
Well, for those who tuned in to listen to Father Bob McGuire, we called his number, but it's temporarily out of service.
Oh,
okay.
So, In its place.
Now, if you would have told me that, I would have took longer.
That's
with
why
Philomena.
I know.
You know what I got to put up with this guy? I could have spoke a little longer. I cut it short because I know he always bothers. Hurry up.
But you know, Father Bob McGuire here on Long Island for a number of years was the mainstay of the charismatic movement. And he had Spirit Life Center at St. Pius X in Plainview. And his mission there was to heal the emotionally poor. And he would do some wonderful things at that center. For example, Adult Child of the King. And that was there for people who had addictions. And he used a book with scripture to help people recovering from addiction. He had mini retreats. He continued them when he went upstate too. On Wednesdays, he'd give a 10 o'clock until 2, then give a mini retreat. And every Sunday evening, he had a prayer group, a charismatic prayer group. And we'll go into that just a little bit. And then once a month, he had a healing mass at St. Pius X Seminary in Uniondale. And he used to have that whole church filled. And then unfortunately, he was moved someplace else, as does happen. But what a wonderful priest. Mm-hmm. And everywhere I go on Long Island, I hear, "Have you heard from Father Bob?" And my answer is, yes. I just heard from him again this past week. I asked him, "How you doing, Father?" He said, "I'm not doing too bad for somebody who's 85 years of age." You know?
Oh, you're not doing too bad either, Palmer.
97.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
But he really wanted to be on here today, so we'll get him back another time.
Yeah, he'll be back.
But you know what I thought we could do as we're playing along with this? I'm going to ask Trevor. Trevor? Hello, Trevor. Would you put on the second song?
And then after that song, I have a question for you guys.
Oh, okay.
Yet. Not yet.
No, not yet.
After the song.
Okay.
After the song. Okay.
Don't get nervous.
You're making me nervous. This song is by Jerry DeAngelis, and it's the Spirit Song. And Jerry played at everything Father did.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Oh, let Him have the things that hold you, and His Spirit like a dove will descend upon your life and make you whole.
Father set up the structure for a lot of charismatic prayer meetings. And I'd like to share that with the audience a bit so that you know what he set up. He started out with praise and music first. And Jerry played and other people played, and like John Clancy does it now. And the Spirit Life Center is still alive at the Kingdom of God Church in Melville, to Lutheran Church on Sunday night. Still, you have the music first. And praise is just simply a way of releasing the Spirit in you. And many times you have people stand up and move around as they surrender their bodies to God. It's a wonderful, wonderful, freeing experience. And then after a period of maybe 10, 15 minutes of praise and worship through song, there was time set aside for the Word of God. And people were led to share scripture or to share what God's doing in their lives. And they followed an ABC, make it about Jesus, keep it brief, and being led by C, I guess, Christ. I forget what the ABC stood for. But it was wonderful because people would get silent like they do in your program.
Yes.
and they would really just try to listen for what God says in them.
Right.
At least we hope it's God. We know it is usually.
Yes.
And then after that, he would have a talk. Somebody would give a talk. And then the whole evening would end up with prayer for healing. And there were people who were healed emotionally, spiritually.
Mm.
And they would come back week after week.
Yeah.
And it's just a wonderful, wonderful experience. I'm so sorry he wasn't here on the phone that we couldn't
get
him.
We'll get him again.
Yeah, we should.
Yeah.
Okay, now ask your question. I'm sorry.
First time ever in 2 years he ever said he was sorry.
Oh,
but
is
I love him.
True?
I love him. No, it's not true. It's not true. It's not true. The thought that hit me was that, and this is a very common question, I'm sure. Now, in praying and talking to Jesus, discernment is very important.
Absolutely.
Now, I know there are certain rudimentals about discernment.
Yes.
Do you have any advice about discerning if we get a message either in our head through the Bible or through a confirmation of some sort?
Most of the time, when we begin in this ministry, even as ministers ourselves, we will discern something for someone else. And what our practice is, and I think what everyone's practice should be, is to be in prayer about whatever that is and to keep asking Jesus and ask God, is this what I think it is? And remain in prayer over that. Now, that takes practice, takes time.
Yes,
and the way that we need to practice it is by going to Mass regularly, praying together regularly. We pray together at the prayer center just about every day. There is either one or two people or a group of people praying. So we have to always be in prayer to hear that voice and learning which is our own voice and our own head telling us something, because, you know, we all have our hopes and dreams about how we would like our lives to be and we would like our relationships to be. So we have that part of ourselves in there. And in order for us to really know which is Jesus's voice or God's voice for us, we have to really be in prayer. So it's really about being in prayer, and I don't know if Louise would have anything to add to that, but it's about being in prayer and practicing that.
Mm-hmm. So there's no quick fix for discerning.
I don't know that there's a quick fix.
Sometimes fair terminology, I'm sorry.
No, but there are times when we do hear something and we just know, because prepare and we know the Holy Spirit is with us, that we are just very sure that one word or that one message is very clear.
Mm-hmm.
There are times when that happens.
I see.
But I think for most of the time, we are just constantly asking Jesus, can you confirm, is this, am I on the right track? Is this what you're saying to me? And he will show you, he will tell you. He always gives
a word yes.
or a sign
yes.
or something that is familiar
now,
to us.
What if, and this has happened to me, so that's why I'm asking.
Right.
So I'm opening my heart. I'm opening myself to you. Sometimes when I ask for discernment, I just don't get anything.
Yes.
What's that all about?
Well, sometimes that is about learning to be patient. It's about,
boy, I hope he learns.
Sometimes it's about our own growth and not having our own way, and I know that's happened in my life a lot.
Uh-huh.
Especially in my family relationships, God has really talked to me about listening and really about acceptance and all of the things that we would desire for ourselves and, kind of my own agenda maybe, and really realizing that each person is a unique creation. God has his journey for them. He has his, each one of those people has a special gift. And as human beings, we don't always see what those special gifts are from the outside. And God is bringing them from the inside.
I see.
So if we learn to be patient, you know, and sometimes God's told me not to speak at times when I want to speak.
I wish he'd tell Tony.
You know, especially especially with my family, because if we try to interfere with, you know, our own agenda, then they can't grow in the way God wants them to grow.
I want to do something here, because every show we talk about listening to God.
Right.
And I'd like the audience and all of us here to be still. And then if whatever you hear, say, no matter what source you think it's from, we know it's not going to be evil. We'll say Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. And you can just complete that prayer. But audience members, listeners, be still and know you're listening for God. If today you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Listeners, I am here for you. And I am here telling you now that what you hear in the silence of your heart is my love within you, is my grace within you, is my spirit within you. I have come that you should have my new life in you, and there is no other way for me to give that to you but to speak to your heart and let my love boil up to the top of your being. As such, I now bind and cast out any spirits that are not of me, and I send them directly to the foot of my cross. And now, dear listeners, I seal you in my most precious blood. You may not know what that means, but it's like putting on a suit of armor. And I give you a blessing just by saying that this is what I will do. And now in these few moments, I'll give you my peace and my love and my words. Others have words here, and they'll share.
No one is so broken that you cannot come to me. You where you are, and I love you for who you are. Come to me and I will give you rest.
I can confirm your message. He's wants everyone to know he's there. He's not beyond approach. He's here, and all we need to do is ask him, and his arms are open.
And actually, he's saying, I am inside you 24/7. All I ask throughout that day is for you to say yes. Hey, Jesus, I'm going to give you some time. God the Father, I'll give you time. Holy Spirit, I'll give you some of my time. Please, please, please come in. That's all you have to do is say yes, and then I will come in. Now at home, every listener, say yes. Say yes to his voice in your heart. Say yes, and let Jesus into your heart right now. Let him touch you. Let him change you. Let him reveal to you exactly what he wants to change in you today, so that you may grow in his love and grow in his strength. Be not afraid, dear friends. Be not afraid. Nothing wrong with being still. There's nothing wrong with allowing yourself to be filled with my Holy Spirit. just be still. And I know I'm talking when you're being still, but I'm priming your pump. I'm getting you started. I'm getting you started so that you will open your heart to me. If you have trouble quieting your mind, I just tell you to say my name, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Say it repeatedly in your heart. It will drown out your human voice. It'll take care of that voice of negativity that does nothing else other than to distract you from me. My friends, in scripture today, Paul talked about two worlds, the world of God and the world of evil. And we essentially exist externally in the world of evil. But internally, if you belong to me, you don't have to worry about the outside world. My kingdom of love is in your heart, in your soul, and in your being. All I'm doing is calling you deeper into my love within you so that you truly know that I am there. I am there. And I know there are people looking for healings from cancer. As we look over, this is me talking, as we looked over the petitions, one after the other, after the other, is cancer. And Jesus, we implore you to eliminate the plague of cancer that seems to be going throughout everywhere. No matter where you turn, there are people filled with cancer. And Lord, I know I've distracted you, and I'm sorry, but it just came into my mind.
John, as you were talking, I got a strong image of his divine mercy. And as you were praying or talking about the petitions, I just saw a light shining on those petitions.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
And a sign of his divine mercy. And I think Jesus is very happy about today.
You know, these things are for real. And what you see and feel and hear inside, it's for real. That's God.
Yes.
He's on the radio. Why do we call the show Jesus is on the air? He is.
And I got that he's very happy about this show today.
Good.
Good.
And so, Father Bob, we're sorry you couldn't make it today.
But you'll be back.
But I think your substitute in Jesus was pretty good.
The whole time that you were praying before, I throughout the whole show, I had the image of that image that we see with Jesus at the door, and there's no knob.
You had the same one?
Yes, I did.
And so that's what he's waiting for you to say yes.
So we all had some image of Jesus,
yes,
while you were talking. For a message, mine was his mercy, and yours was his waiting. And he'll never turn any of us away.
Never, never.
All
he's
we need
waiting
to do
for us
is
to
go
say
to
yes.
him.
It's interesting you both had the same image.
Yes.
Yeah.
I saw it very clearly.
Because that's really a good image for every listener to have in their minds of Jesus knocking on the door to your heart.
Yes.
So that he'll come in quietly and gently and lovingly.
And he always comes in gently. That's what we must remember.
Yes.
Right. He's not going to be severe with us. He's always going to be gentle and loving.
That's his nature.
Yes.
And I don't care what sins
right.
you carry with you. He comes with his gentle, forgiving love.
And that was his divine mercy.
Yeah.
That was
yes.
the message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in his time. Not
his
ours.
Time.
Right, not ours. Yep.
Amen. Well, you know, it's a perfect lead-in to a song to end.
I thought so. I felt it. Yeah, I felt it. John is the executive producer, by the way.
He's our rock.
He selects.
Jesus is our rock.
He's our rock.
This is Dana. And we can dance.
From Ireland.
From Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Don't dance on the table again.
Okay, I'll try.
It's very embarrassing. Palmer, when you do that, I'm so embarrassed.
He's too tall. He might bang his head on the ceiling.
He'll break the table.
I rejoice in the saving hell. There is no rock like my God. There is no rock like my God.
There is no rock like my God.
I find my strength in my God.
I find my strength in my God.
Oh, forever and ever in me.
Oh, forever and ever in me.
There is no rock like my God.
Couples only, stay to the right, please.
Off the table, by Palmer.
Linda and Louise, you've been a joy for us to have here today.
Really were.
So
guys, got to come back. Promise you're going to come back.
Definitely.
Okay,
good.
We'll come back.
And this was fun.
It was. It's different.
Yes.
And you know that we blew our whole agenda again today.
Yes.
Well, the spirit did.
Yes, but one thing. Don't go, when you go out there, don't tell them how old we are, because we always say we're young kids in love with Jesus, you know. So just don't say we're little old men.
We are young, all of us, right?
Anyone who still uses the term dial is old.
He's so mean.
We had Dana on the show a couple of months ago.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very good.
I love this song. You know who loves this song? It's Sister Kellenberg, Joan Kellenberg.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She loves it. She dances to it and everything.
She really
I had her as a seminar speaker, and she's dancing.
But John,
oh,
he's
sorry.
Talking
We're
over her.
So,
he likes
I'm
to
sorry.
Talk so much. He talks over the song. Poor Al Barbarino talks over his song every week.
Oh, he's another very
I love
special
him.
Man.
I love him. And next week we're going to have the author of our theme song on, Palmer. You know that, right?
Paul Val.
Paul Val, yeah.
He's your partner. We've been there.
So mean.
Did you ever wonder what the title of that song is?
Now we know.
But Trevor, thank you.
Thank you, Trevor. We love you, Trevor. Thank you so much.
And when I get a hold of Father Bob, am I going to beat him up?
Nah, he'll be on.